More rocket attacks in Aleppo, Syria today, where as many as 200 people have been killed in the last week and a half. Secretary of State John Kerry is on an emergency visit to Geneva to join negotiations between the government and the opposition to restart the fragile ceasefire that now appears to be well over. Secretary Kerry blamed the Syrian government for blatantly violating the cessation of hostilities, but he says there needs to be something put in place that's much more permanent.
So that there isn't one day of silence or 2 days of silence, but an ongoing process that relieves the people of Syria from this devastation, from this day-to-day killing machine that is being unleashed by the Assad regime.
One tragic detail to note, one of the people most recently killed was Dr. Mohammed Wasim Ma'az, a beloved pediatrician who died while treating kids at the Al-Quds Hospital. We turn now to Shadi Martini, who was an administrator of a hospital in Aleppo before the war and is now a refugee and humanitarian worker. Shadi, welcome.
Nice talking to you, John.
What is the possibility of being a pediatrician or any kind of doctor right now under these conditions?
It's very hard. This is why this is the only pediatrician in Aleppo who was killed the other day. It's very hard-working environment. You get hit all the time, and very few hospitals are still operating in Aleppo.
And the conditions for performing surgery, hospitals aren't the best place under these conditions because they're being targeted. It's more like go find a cave or a hole in the ground.
Exactly. It's very hard to work. A colleague who works, who was an administrator, just told me that they're trying to bring a hospital to the cave. And the doctor said, well, that's the perfect environment for a hospital to work in, because he was upset of the constant bombing. And it was just a surreal statement, like in the 21st century, the best environment for a hospital is a cave.
The negotiators in Geneva are trying to restart this cessation of hostilities. Will anyone in Aleppo know what they're talking about?
Actually, no. People in Aleppo it's been battles for weeks now. It's been very hard. Every 25 minutes a person is killed, and it's increasing. The situation is very bad. People are trying to avoid streets. Hospitals, bakeries are being targeted deliberately by the government. So it's very, very terrific situation. It's a very hard situation at the moment.
Once upon a time, there were 2 million people in Aleppo. Many of them, if not most of them, are gone now. What's your assessment of the population in Aleppo at this moment? And what of the fate of the people who've had to leave?
Approximately in the eastern part of the city, which is the most populous, is not under the government control, about 250,000, 300,000. That was the most populous areas. Probably 2/3 of the population prior to the war lived in these areas. Other areas have sustained under government control less damage. So I'll guess overall probably 600,000, 700,000 still live in the city of Aleppo.
And most of the people who've left Aleppo are not in refugee camps. They're moving from house to house and subject to all kinds of exploitation. How do you monitor what's going on with the refugees?
Actually, it's very hard because according to the UN, only 10% lives in camps. Out of the about 5 million Syrian refugees, 90% are urban refugees. So it's very hard to provide aid and monitor and assess the problems that they're facing when most of them, vast majority, is outside the camp system.
What stories have you heard about people trying to go from house to house and make it to some future life that could be stable?
It's very hard. We worked with people from inside Syria, across the world, to Europe, and even here to the United States. It's always people trying to stay as close as possible to home in the hope that somehow they're going to return to their home. So they try to make it to a village nearby. Then they see it's still terrible. They make it to a close border, but they still stay inside Syria. Then when it's much horrible, they cross the borders, and sometimes they try to make it to Europe or any other countries that they can feel that they can build their future.
And along the way, they could be imprisoned. I mean, there are ways in which people can be diverted and separated from their family forever. C- Can you explain how that happens and how people are trying to combat that?
Well, yes, where people are desperate, they try to use desperate means. And of course, there's always smuggling networks that take advantage of that. So we had a lot of miners disappear, especially in Europe. There was a report about 10,000 miners actually disappeared in Europe, refugees. We had people who were killed and their organs were taken. We had women who were used for prostitution. A lot of these stories we hear every day, because actually the response to this huge refugee crisis, especially the Syrian one, is not addressed properly. It's the biggest refugee population at the moment in the world, about 5 million. And still people are trying to use different message, illegal message, to go to safe areas.
Well, and these stories are impossible to confirm, but it's an indication of the horror and the climate of fear that exists out there among refugees who have not made it to any sort of stable, settlement outside of Syria. Shadi Martini, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Shadi Martini is a former administrator of a hospital in besieged Aleppo and is now a refugee and a humanitarian worker himself.